No doubt we need to show them. Amen. Lead the way. Thank you for that testimony in song. Well, good morning, church. Boy, y'all look good and smell good today. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Well, look, won't you take your copy, the revelation you have, the Bible you brought. If you don't have one, just look in the pew nearby. I'm sure you'll find one. And turn to Isaiah chapter number 3. Isaiah chapter number 3. We are actually wrapping up with 2 Thessalonians, but I wanted to share with you a few thoughts that I have in regards to where we are currently in our nation, in our country, and we may even tie it in with 2 Thessalonians, which has been so good. I would encourage anybody, if you would just even go back over 1 Thessalonians again and read through it and 2 Thessalonians together. There's so much in this prophetic word that God had given the Apostle Paul to encourage the church that these principles around the coming of the Lord and the things that we as a church body ought to be doing, they help us because they help us do things right. And they teach us such simple but yet profound principles of actually everyday living, and they're so good. If that's all you had was those two books, they would be sufficient to walk in, and I think that applies with all the Word of God, as you really only need a one solid word from the Lord to be a difference maker, amen, and to walk in that. We've seen that through history of God's people. I'm just grateful that we have a copy. I have a copy of this revelation that contains all 66 books, amen, and that we can dig in it. Now, as we look at this in Isaiah 3, it is a very descriptive section of Scripture that paints a picture for a people when God is not satisfied with them and with a nation. He gives us some indications here of things that he starts to remove from a group of people when they have abandoned him and his ways, and what he allows to replace that. And we'll see it. And I think when we read through this, and I just share a few little principles around it, I think you'll see it's very descriptive of where we are currently. And at the same time, as we look at it, we have to think. If I was going to give you counsel, and I'm going to give it to you right now, as it applies to what I would do personally, I encourage everybody, if you've heard me say this 1,000 times, always follow the leadership of the Spirit of God over your life. Trust the Word of God. Let that be the authority that you walk on and you stand on, but follow the leadership of the Lord. If God tells you to do this, you go do it. If he tells you to give this, you give it. If he tells you to go share with somebody, go share with somebody. If he tells you to go meet with somebody else on a particular day, or even when we're gathering together, you follow his leadership and you will never go wrong. Amen. Even if it doesn't make sense, even if it seems out of season, out of character, even if we wouldn't agree with you on it, if you can stand on the truth and the Word of God and you know that the Spirit of God has led you, you walk by faith and do what God leads you to do. And that applies with everything. When it comes to living, when it comes to voting, vote your conscience, whatever God tells you to do. Amen? And another thing is this, is that God can lead you. You've heard me teach these things already, but God can lead you to vote in a particular way, and the people that he leads you to vote for may not necessarily be the one that he's going to put in office. And you can be right with him and vote your convictions and what he led you, but the outcome of the election be totally contrary to what you voted for, and you still be right with him. That's important to recognize. You don't have to question, well, did I miss this? Did I miss what God was doing? He doesn't want to lead us in doubt. He doesn't want to confuse us. He wants to give us wisdom, and with wisdom always comes clarity, so that we know how to take the next step and be in harmony with him. And you can trust him, amen? You can trust him. Now, in light of that, as your pastor and as your friend, I'm not going to vote for a person, but I am going to vote for an agenda, and I'm voting for a future. So therefore, when I consider some of the things that are crucial and fundamental and what I believe that would be the best for our nation, things like pro-life and things with when it comes to justices and things like that, and protecting our sovereign nation. Those things are important to me, and they're important for our future as a country. They're important for my children and my grandchildren, and the grandchildren I don't even have yet, and the future grandchildren that are going to come. If I'm going to do what I believe God's leading me to do, I'm going to vote in the direction for the future and not put my hand on a particular person and endorse a person, because a person's going to let us down, just like I'm going to let you down at times and you're going to let me down. But I do believe out of what we have presented to us, honestly, you know, I've taught these things before. All we have is two bramble bushes. Remember out of Judges 9 where we talked about this. Judges 9, when they had the olive, the fig, and the grapevine. They didn't want to sacrifice. The righteous, those that are blessed of the Lord, didn't want to take on leadership. So they stepped aside. Well, the bramble bush steps up and says, I'll do it. I'll lead. And anybody that doesn't follow me, I'll consume them with fire. I will annihilate them if they don't want to walk with me. And that's what Abimelech did. The only person escaped was Jotham. And this is in Judges chapter 9, dealing with Gideon and his kids. Y'all know Gideon had 70 sons? Did y'all know that? Man, that's a bunch of kids. I don't know how many daughters he had, but he had 70 sons. That's a lot, isn't it? Well, one boy killed all of them minus one. And Jotham stood up that day and he gave that word in Judges 9, this parable about the trees. Because leadership is a sacrifice. And it cost us. And it would be very challenging for us as people to lay our hand on a person and throw our full support and endorsement on a particular person who is prone to do things and act in ways that would be totally contrary to what we are as a people. You understand what I'm saying? But I believe the agenda and his what he's going to do down the road. And I tell you what, he may highly, highly disappoint all of us. Are you with me? That is potential. But you know, I don't trust him. I don't trust me. I don't trust you. But I do trust in the King. Amen. And as the scriptures teach us, and when I say I don't trust you, you know I love you. And will lay down my life to protect you and teach you and do what God has called us to do. What I'm saying is we don't put our trust in men. Amen. We put our trust in the Lord. Amen? And we're going to follow him because he is our salvation. He is our strength. He is our hope. He is our righteousness, Jesus and Jesus alone. And therefore, we put our faith in him. And we have a mission that he's given us to accomplish. And we can't let things sidetrack us from that mission, no matter how hostile it may be. We have a mission to shine brightly in this dark world we live in. And we are salt and light in this world. And therefore, we want to have an authentic witness. And we want to be true. And we want to be genuine. And we want to be, when we fail well. That is, that we acknowledge our failures in our flesh and give our confidence to Jesus that he is our hope and strength. And though the righteous may stumble and fall 1,000 times, he just keeps picking us up and leading us in the path of righteousness. Amen? Because that's what he does. He's our shepherd, so we're going to trust him. So I'm voting for a future for our nation. And when I read this, I think you're going to see some things that God is doing in our country right now. I said Isaiah 3, but I want you to look in verse number 22. Notice this. Of chapter number 2, I'm sorry. Isaiah 3, we're going to be in 3, but look in chapter 2, verse 22. Notice this word that he gives them. Sever yourself from such a man whose breath is in his nostrils. For what account is he? Chapter 2, verse 22. Isaiah 2:22. Sever yourselves from a man whose breath is in his nostrils. Now you're thinking, well, man, Tommy, that's me. That's you. Amen? Well, what he's saying is this. Sever yourself from a person who finds their life within themselves. A man that has breath in his nostrils, a man that dependent upon himself. He's not dependent upon the Lord. He don't see his life is coming from God. His life is coming from himself. He's dependent upon himself more than he is anything else and everybody else. He doesn't seek the Lord. He's not asking God to help him. And he's simply saying, don't sever yourselves from such a person. That means don't let that person influence how you live this life who doesn't seek the Lord and acknowledge him as he's the life source of our life. I want to tell you, my next breath comes from him. Amen. And not only that, but the next step I take. How can a man know his way unless he knows his maker? And when a man doesn't know his maker and seeking his maker, but his life is in himself, therefore he does what is right in his own eyes, and he doesn't acknowledge the Lord. Scripture says, sever yourself from such a person. That is, don't let them influence your thought process. Don't let them influence your actions. Don't let them entice you to do things. And I want to tell you, in our atmosphere of our country right now, if you listen to what's going on around us, man, they'll provoke anger in you and get you with a cynical spirit. You'll get apathetic. You'll get angry and bitter toward people, and you'll start taking it out on people because you're listening to people who find life in themselves. And we need to listen and hear from those who are seeking and hearing from Jesus. Amen. So that we'll know what he wants us to do. Now, watch this in chapter number 3 in verse number 1. He says, for behold, and that word behold is what kind of word? That's a faith word. He says you have to see this by faith. You can't see it right now physically. You got to trust this by faith. For behold, the Lord, that is the Lord of hosts. What is he going to do? He takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water. It's symbolic of what he's about to tell us. Man cannot survive without food and water, physically. It's impossible. You take away water, you take away food, men are going to die. It's just inevitable. But notice how he then describes this. What is he going to take away from them, their nation, which is just as essential as bread and water for to sustain life? He's going to start taking away the mighty man, which is talking about men of wisdom, men of character, men of respect, men who you can trust in the sense of following their leadership and what they say, because their life source is not in themselves. They're hearing from the Lord. They're mighty men and man of war, the judge and the prophet and the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the skillful artisan and the expert enchanter. God says, I'm going to take them away. It's just like bread and water. A society needs mature leaders. Amen. They need people who can make decisions and govern and lead a nation in a direction that would be beneficial for the people and honor the Lord and bring glory to him. And when they're not doing that, God says, I'm going to start removing from a country honorable, respectable, wise leadership. And he goes on to say this, verse 4, in their place I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child will be insolent toward the elder, and the base people toward the honorable. Man, if that doesn't describe us right now. Y'all felt the lead this morning as the ladies to be praying for the young people, the youth of our nation. I mean, you can't help but notice how disrespectful and this idea of anarchy and rebellion is so rampant across our country. When people don't get what they think they deserve, they riot. When people are not being what they consider to be treated fair, they cause trouble. And they have no regard for human life, and they have no regard for solid answers and leaders, and they mock those who are have authority over them, and they rise up against them. All that is signs of wrath. That's signs of judgment. That God says when his people are not living the way that he calls us to live, he's going to start removing solid leaders, and he's going to replace them with childish, immature leaders. What he does, we can see that. Now, we're not hopeless, amen? We got an answer for this. And we can be difference makers. He goes on to say, let's read a little bit further. Verse 6, he says, when a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, and he says to them, listen to this, you have clothing, so won't you be our ruler? And let these ruins be under your power. In that day he will protest, and he'll say, I cannot cure your troubles, your ills, for my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler over the people. Now notice what happened here. It gets so bad when he begins to take away solid leaders and he replaces them with immature, childish leadership. He says the standard or the qualifications of leaders is going to stoop so low that when a man has just a little extra clothes, somebody's going to want him to stand up and be the leader. That sounds like where we are now. I mean, what's presented to us? Think about it. The standard of qualifications to lead our country is so low today that we'll grab anybody on the street and say, won't you? You got a little bit of this. Won't you be our leader? That's a sign of judgment. And it's a commentary on us.
Amen.
It's a commentary on us as a people.
Amen.
God doesn't expect the world around us to live like us, amen? That's what he's called us to do, so that we can be light and salt and make a difference. So think about this for a moment. Can you see? I mean, here it is. He says, simply because you have clothes, it gets so bad that they use that as the means of a standard to be a ruler or a leader. And then he says, well, look, I don't even have enough clothes or food in my house, and I can't solve your problem, so I'm not going to get involved in it either. So we read a little bit further, verse 8, for Jerusalem stumbled and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory, to look on their countenance, witness against them, continuous witness against them, and they shall declare their sin as Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves. The idea is that they declare their sin as Sodom is a sense of mockery, where they mock sin and they mock things that went on in Sodom, and they're proud of it. They're unashamed of it. They don't mind to say we look like Sodom. And that's what was going on. And doesn't that sound a lot like where we are? I mean, where you see just an outright, blatant, I will support women's rights to commit abortions even to the day before they have the child. And I support the rights of everyone, that everyone can be what they want to be and do what they want to do. When you have no standards, how can you support anything? You see, that's important for us. We missing these things. And they mocking unashamedly. And I'm not saying that I'm right in every single way. Anybody in here right and perfect in every way? My righteousness is not of me anyway. It's found in Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to do some silly things, and I'm going to do some foolish things at times, and I'm not going to be trustworthy at times. But I want to tell you, Jesus won't let us down.
Yeah.
It's not that I want to do those things. I just sometimes, just like all of us, get distracted and get misled, just like anybody. But it's this idea of this blatant. It's one thing if you say, I believe this. It's another thing to say, I believe this, and I want you to believe it, and I'm going to endorse it, and I want you to follow it. And if you don't follow it, you're such an outcast, and you're a terror to our people and our country if you won't follow these things. I'm telling you, this is where all this is headed.
Amen.
Now, and at the same time, we have to realize this. As the people of God, we don't deserve the right to be treated in the ways that we think we should be treated. That is that it's okay if we get persecuted. Amen. Scripture says don't think it a strange thing if you get persecuted.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, that's part of the calling upon our life. to bear the sufferings of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And the fellowship. He said, matter of fact, if you're persecuted for doing God's way, not for doing your own way, but for God's way, grace and glory rest upon your life. And he says, rejoice in that. Don't go looking for it. Just do what he's called you to do. But I think we have taught our churches over the years to pity themselves in the sense that they should be treated better than what God has intended us to be treated. He uses trouble. He uses trials. He uses suffering in the life of his people to exalt and magnify his name. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to recognize that. So it doesn't matter how they want to treat us and how they want to abuse us. That's okay. We're going to get that. It's okay. I don't have to cry about it. Amen? I don't have to protest about it. I don't have to lift up my voice about it. I just keep doing what Jesus called me to do.
Amen.
And whatever comes that way, we're just going to glorify him. Amen? So I don't have to argue with this society. I don't have to complain. There's one thing about reporting things and another thing about complaining about things. I don't want to be known as a complainer. I want to be able to recognize error. I want to be able to recognize truth. And I want to be able to point people to Jesus. And that takes wisdom. That takes knowledge. That takes sound judgment and discernment and discretion. He goes on to say, verse number 10, say to the righteous, now notice this little glimpse of hope right in the midst of it. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with who? With them. So everybody said, in spite of what comes, in spite of this atmosphere, he says, say to my people that are right with me, it'll be well with them. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Verse 11, woe though to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given to him. Verse 12, as for my people, children or childish leadership are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your path. Oh, I don't know if we can get a clearer picture of where we are right now. But I like that glimpse of that picture. Those who are right with me, those who trust me, those who are following me, in spite of what the atmosphere of a society is, in spite of what I'm taking away from them and what I'm allowing to replace it, you as my people can rejoice that it's going to be well with you through it. Oh, Caleb, we was talking about this in Sunday school this morning. Oh, Caleb trusted the Lord, and he wholly followed him. But he still had to walk through the wilderness. Had to spend 40 years with a lot of trouble around him. But he kept his eyes on the Father. And as he did, he says, I've lived a life of faith, and I've trusted him. I'm just as able and as strong as I am now as when I went in the promised land and spied it out some 45 years ago. And he had that one phrase. I love what he says. I think it's in Joshua 14. He says, ever since God spoke a word to me, I've been walking by faith. And I want to tell you, we need a word today. Amen.
Amen.
And that we need to be able to see prophetically how God sees things. That's what faith is. Faith is seeing the way God sees it. Of course, it's not everything that he sees, but it's enough to be in harmony with him and to have his delight and his power upon our life. He sees into the dark. He changes times and seasons. Promotion comes from him. It doesn't come from the people. It doesn't come from the east, he says. It doesn't come from the west. And it doesn't come from the south. One he left out. He left out the north. It comes from above. Amen. Look, matter of fact, let's look at it for a moment. Psalm 75. I think it's 75. If it's not, I know y'all won't crucify me. Somewhere in the 70s. 75, maybe 6. 75:6. Before we read it, I was sharing with the guys this morning. Isaiah 33:6 says this, that that wisdom and knowledge will be our stability. Wisdom and knowledge shall be our stability, the foundation for which we stand on. Without it, we're going to operate independent of the Lord. We need wisdom and knowledge. With wisdom comes clarity. With knowledge comes confidence. With understanding comes conviction. With love comes compassion. With faith comes courage. With hope comes comfort. With joy comes contentment. We need all those things to be at work in our life. But wisdom and knowledge will be your stability. You need it. That's why we need the precious truths of the Word of God and hide them in our heart. And notice what he says. This should be a word for us that helps us no matter the outcome of these things. Verse 6 says of Psalm 75, "For exaltation, promotion, cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge who puts down one and does what? Raises or exalts another." Man, that's a word right there, amen. So who's in control of this election ultimately? Who? I can rest in that, so I don't have to fight it, right? I can trust that he knows exactly what he's doing. And if he's removing solid leadership and he's replacing it with what we see in Isaiah 3, it's for a reason. And we can trust him on that because he's already promised it's still going to be well with us, amen. We're going to have to suffer with everybody, but we've still been called to be the witnesses that he's called us to be. Look in Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Let's just start in verse number 1. He says, "Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name." The word joyful shout, the word shout means an ear-piercing shout. That means to lift your voice up with an ear-piercing shout. Shout to the Lord. Remember when God's people at different times shouted unto him to the point that the earth trembled under their feet because they were shouting unto the Lord? I think we're a little bit reserved in our day. Are you with me? I mean, an ear-piercing shout, all the earth. Sing out to the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, "How awesome are your works through the greatness of your power. Your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you." It's coming. Every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. This entire earth, every king and leader is going to bow a knee to him. It's coming. We can guarantee it. It's going to happen. It may not be happening right now, but it will happen, and we can rest in that. He says in verse number 4, "All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name, Selah. Come and see the works of God, for he is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we were rejoiced in him." Think about that for a minute. When Moses was standing at that Red Sea, what did he have before him? Something that was impossible to pass. What did he have behind him? Something that was impossible to turn around and fight. Here is a defenseless group of people with a whole army of chariots, of warriors that were behind them in a sea before. They were in a spot where all they could do is either cower down or turn unto the Lord. And when they turned unto the Lord, what did God do? He did the impossible. He parted the sea, because he can do that. Amen. He can make axe heads float. And we living in that day right now where it just doesn't make sense. But we can trust him in whatever he tells us to do. As he told Moses to see the salvation of the Lord, he put that rod over the sea, and the waters parted, and they went through on dry ground. And God just let the enemy follow them right on in, didn't he? And when they got to the other side, what did he do? He closed it up. Swallowed them up. But notice this next verse. Verse 7. "He rules by his power sometimes." Come on now. Is that what it says? Now, I know what the Bible says, but what does our practical thinking say? Our thinking often thinks he just rules sometimes, right? But when does he rule? Does it forever have any beginning or ending to it? So that tells me right now he's ruling, amen? He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Everything that's happening right now, he's fully aware. He's still in control, and he's allowing things that we wouldn't want to happen, or we wouldn't have done it this way, but we can trust him. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what is best. He knows what's best for me, what's best for us, and we can depend on him. We can depend on him. The next phrase, notice this. You've heard me say this quite a few times. Therefore, if that be the case, do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. That's simply saying, in our mind, don't give credit to the enemy, to the rebellious, because they are really not in control of this the way they think they are. Our God rules by his power. Amen? So you don't have to give credit to the enemy. You don't have to put the blame on him and say he's done. If you kept reading in Psalm 66, you're going to see. You would see, we're not going for time's sake, that God said he let the people walk over his people. He let them misuse them. He let them abuse them. He put them through the fire. He refined them, but he brought them out to a wealthy place, a better place on the other side. And I'm telling you, that's what he still does today. So we don't have to fret. We can trust. Keep walking with him. Is it going to be easy? No. Is it going to get hard? More than likely, yes, it sure will. Will it be a challenge, difficult? Yes, but it don't have to be complicated. Simply trust and follow him. He'll give you clarity. He'll give you help through it all. Vote your convictions. Ask God to lead you. You don't have to worry about going wrong. Amen? Amen. Follow his lead. Father, we thank you today. We pray that you help us. Everything that is happening today is on a prophetic time frame. As you teach us, as we read yesterday, In your book, as we read through 2 Thessalonians, you teach us that you're the one who is holding things back, that these things have not happened yet because it all has a place in a particular time in what you're doing. But we can trust you. We can lean on you. We can look to you, and you will use us in the midst of this chaos to be like that good Samaritan who found a man in a ditch, and he went in and helped him out. Our country is in that ditch, and they need some Samaritans to help them up. So I'm asking you to give us strength, to give us wisdom, so that we can have clarity and walk in your power and your victory, that we can trust you, that we can lift holy hands unto you without any animosity in our hearts, with no anxiety in our spirit, but that we can trust you, that you know what you're doing. Use us, send us out, and I pray that we will be difference makers in this day that we live in. In Jesus' name, amen.